This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Back from his hiatus, we have Chris O'Brien here with Gene Steinberg on the Paracast. We've got loads of listener questions, and when we bring on Stanton Friedman in our next segment, it's going to be an action-packed episode all the way through. We're going to ask him some real hard questions, but we won't prejudge that right now. Let's just go
in. We have to be careful. He's still feeling gingerly, I would imagine.
He is, but, you know, giving people stents these days, which is the treatment he underwent after he had a mild heart attack, that's nothing unusual anymore. I mean, we've got Dick Cheney running around with 400 heart attacks and a new heart, and he's out there and he's raring to go.
Well, for a guy with no heart, he sure has had some heart problems.
Yes, you could say that. Now all the Dick Cheney fans out there are going to hate us, but so what? Anyway, you weren't here last week, and you were in a place where there was no internet, which unfortunately is in far too many places in the United States.
No.
And your cell phone reception was pathetic, so every third word was inaudible. So where were you?
In the San Luis Valley, South Central Colorado, where I spent an action-packed 13 years, 10 of which were involved in investigating hundreds and hundreds of claims of the unusual and whatnot. I went back for a variety of reasons, but one of the main reasons was to touch bases with old friends and also do a mini book signing presentation in Alamosa, Colorado, which went really well. I also got together with my old band, Laughing Buddha, for the first time in 16, 17 years, and we're going to be doing a little recording and re-release our album that we did 20 years ago for the 20th anniversary of that album's release. So it was fun. I had a good time. On the way back, I also stopped in an area on the Navajo reservation that has had quite a bit of amazing UFO activity over the past 10 years. It's around the Satan's Butte Indian Wells area of the Navajo Res, and I did some videotaping out there and some running around on Jeep roads and trying to get a lay of the land out there. It's a pretty interesting spot, and I would love to get together with some folks and maybe do a multi-day expedition out there and do some quality sky watching.
All these places you go to, you ever think E.T. is going to be watching you? They're going to pick you up, and maybe you're not going to come back? That's a half-serious question.
Nope, never enters my mind. You know, with all this stuff and poking around in places that are pretty remote and possibly near military facilities or near Native American reservations, it's the people that are more of a concern than anything that goes bump in the night. You really do have to tread carefully in some of these areas, and I've gotten, I think, pretty good at doing that. I don't have any qualms at all about being anal probed or abducted or something.
All right. Let me ask you a question here, and I'll tell you why I'm asking you this question, all right? Now, listeners know that I probably have never seen a UFO, or maybe I did once back in the late 60s. Now, you've had UFO sightings. Have you ever seen a UFO at fairly close range?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. 150 feet away.
Once or twice.
That particular time was only one time. I've also had that was a structured craft in broad daylight, 50 feet above the road that flashed right in front of, across the road in front of us as we were traveling south on Highway 69 in the Huerfano Valley. And I got to watch it for about 20 or 30 seconds as it went across the valley. The other time was we were coming back, actually, the Laughing Buddha Band was coming back from Denver, and we were on Highway 260 or 160 just east of Fort Garland, and we had this, you know, I estimated it at about beach ball size, maybe a little smaller, or volleyball size, a little smaller, of a brilliant laser red light that paced the car. It was maybe 60, 70 feet off to the left side of the car, And it just flew right alongside us for, I don't know, 10 seconds maybe, and then zipped off. And that was pretty impressive. That was, of course, at night.
How close was it again?
60 feet maybe.
Okay.
Less than 100, definitely.
Okay, and that's these are the only ones?
Well, in terms of, yeah, I mean, close enough you could throw a rock and hit them, yeah. Most other sightings have been at a greater distance. I've had a number within a mile. In fact, one event was 13 different objects. I'm not sure what they were, probably military, but they were able to hover, go backwards, forwards. And there were 13 of them within 5 miles of us without a single hint of a sound.
All right, let's talk about the article. Article from Mike Cleland, posted by Open Minds just the other day. It's headlined, "The Possible Unsettling Implications of UFO Sightings." And he has interviews with a number of UFO abduction researchers, including Dr. David Jacobs, Kathleen Martin, and a few others. And the theory posted here, and not everyone here agrees with it necessarily or agrees completely with it, is that people who have close-range UFO sightings that are repeated may be seeing the beginning or end of a suppressed UFO abduction.
Okay,
I want that to sink in.
Hold on, let me check my rear end here. Nope, it's all intact. No, Gene, I like Mike. I think he's a pretty interesting out of the box thinker, but you know, I don't think you can take such a broad brushstroke and apply it in this fashion. I think the abduction phenomenon is far more psychological than, you know, a lot of abduction researchers and fans of that particular puzzle would admit. I think we're dealing with something that's infinitely more complex, and I don't really think you can take that brush and make that broad brushstroke and say if you've had a close proximity UFO sighting, you're being abducted, or stand a higher chance or a greater chance of coming in and out of a period of being abducted. I have not seen that in the literature. I haven't encountered that in my own work. So, I of course, I have to read the article before I can really pass judgment on it. But my inclination would be to kind of lean away from that sort of generalization.
I think some people have this theory that occasionally that's true, which it might well be. But some people take the broad brush approach, which is that it has to be the same in every single case, which is always a problem.
I do agree. That is, you just can't come up with these generalized rules of thumb like that. It just, I don't think it works.
The problem always has been in the UFO field is that when we try to find some kind of general consistency, such as 5-year cycles, 7-year cycles, whatever, suddenly the UFOs come back and just foul everything up again. And
yes, I have found that, definitely. As soon as you establish what you think is a viable pattern, it tends to support that pattern until you open your big mouth and start talking about it, and then it does a 180.
Right, it's part of the UFO game, I guess. That,
yeah.
It's also something you've written about in Stalking the Trickster, the fact that there are these things happening in the UFO field that somebody is manipulating them or something. And maybe they're playing tricks on us, but some of those tricks may not be too pleasant. But yeah. I will ask Stanton Friedman about what he thinks. Does he think that repeated close-up UFO sightings might indicate somebody's been abducted?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see how Mike would you know, posit that particular hypothesis. And like you just stated before, you know, I'm sure that some abductees could report that sort of close proximity, these close proximity sighting events. There is that, obviously, that possibility. But I think in high areas of high incidence, like the San Luis Valley or back in the 80s, the Hudson River Valley, I think it's just being in the right place at the wrong time, or the wrong place at the right time, however you want to state that. I think a lot of it is just coincidental. It's just, you know, you happen to be returning home on that road at that particular time, and you look up and you see a huge flying triangle or something. I don't think that you're more likely to be abducted if that's the case. I think the abduction phenomenon is infinitely more complicated than that.
So much more to talk about there. We have Stanton Friedman coming up this week with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
He's raring to go, folks. Stanton T. Friedman is on this week on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Now, I just talked to Stan for about 3 seconds, and he sounds, you know, this guy is 80 years old, which used to be old. Now, what is it, 80 is the new 50, Stan?
Well, new 50, new 60, I don't know. I don't care.
So just tell our listeners briefly what happened there. You had a mild heart attack?
Yeah, on June 27th, family reunion was the next day on the 28th, and I celebrated the night before by having a heart attack and went to, got taken to the hospital and interned. I spent a week total of two hospitals, had a couple of stents put in. I was never really ill. I was bored at the hospital, didn't have much to do. I read four books at the one down in St. John. They had a library selection. And I've been doing fine. I was not bedridden. I was not sickly. I don't have as much energy as I did before, but we'll catch up on that. I plan to be lecturing at the end of August and early September and in October. And it's all on my website, www.stantonfriedman.com.
Well, we're really glad to hear that you're going strong and that we hope you'll be doing this when you're 95.
What I'm hoping for, both my parents live to be 90. So, you know, with a later generation, I should be able to get to 95. Why not? But I'm sorry. I thought I was going to set a record of 80 years without having spent overnight in a hospital. I was 1 month short. That's not fair.
Well, that's still
I'm
a pretty
basically
good record.
A healthy person. Basically a healthy person, and I expect to continue that.
Okay, so therefore we will not hold back on the hard questions, okay?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I'm going to ask you a hard one right off the bat because our listeners have asked about this. Now, I know you are gracious enough to accept a lot of invitations to appear on radio shows, TV shows. You go out and do the lectures. And
yeah.
You were interviewed by a couple of people who run a Google channel called Third Phase of Moon. Remember that?
If it's what I think it was, that was one of my least favorite interviews.
Tell us more.
Well, I'm not sure. But there's one program where I wasn't really well prepared because I didn't know what they were doing. I tend to take programs as they come. I don't worry about them.
You don't get into the politics.
No. So, you know, was there a particular question somebody was unhappy with how I answered? Or
I think the concern is that you go there anyway because they've been notorious for posting fake UFO videos that they tout as genuine. In fact, there's fair evidence.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And there's fair evidence they fake some of them themselves. We had one of them as twins, two guys who run the site. On our show, we call them the twins who shall not be named. And, you know, we kind of gave it to him and we said, look, if you really want help to improve your site, present stuff that really has some value, we'll work with you. Chris personally offered to work with them to help them out. And this guy blew him off.
Wow.
I'm not surprised. There are people like that, and every once in a while I meet one, not very often, fortunately. And, you know, it's a strange world we live in. Everybody thinks I must get a hard time when I lecture. I've given over 700 lectures, 50 states, 10 provinces, and 18 other countries. So I get around. And I've only had 11 hecklers, and two of them were drunk. And that seems to surprise people. They know I come on very strong. You know, some UFOs are alien spacecraft. We're dealing with a cosmic water gate. There are no good arguments against that, et cetera. But only 11 hecklers. Nine that weren't drunk anyway.
So you don't have anybody who throws a shoe at you, for example?
No, I have not had a shoe or an egg. That's not a challenge to anybody out there.
Not a challenge, okay? The guy is a nice man. Whether you agree with him or not, hold the shoes, hold the socks, hold the tomatoes also.
Make sure they're the right size. Maybe I could use a pair of shoes.
What is your size in case they get the right ones? Get some Nikes. What size?
10.5.
Okay, 10.5 Nikes, folks. If you want to throw shoes at them, brand new 10.5 Nikes. Don't throw it too hard. And
you got to throw both.
Why not?
Well, you do lectures. Chris, what's your shoe size?
10.5.
Well, you see, whatever Stan doesn't use, he'll send to you.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. All right. I'm going to hit you with an interesting article that came out in Open Minds from Mike Cleland, who I'm sure you know, and it's entitled The Possible Unsettling Implications of UFO Sightings. He interviews abduction.
I just saw that listed. I haven't read it all, but go on.
All right, so you get the sense of it here. And he interviews people involved in UFO abduction research, and I guess the implication is that maybe some or maybe a great percentage of instances where people have more than one close-up UFO sighting might also involve suppressed abductions. What's your sense of that?
Well, I did read an article like that, and I thought some of the reasoning wasn't too well done. I mean, one guy said 100% people who've had a sighting have been abducted.
Right.
I think there's some faulty reasoning here. To give you an example of that, all great-grandfathers are men. That is a true statement. That certainly doesn't mean all men are great-grandfathers. So lots of people have UFO sightings. That doesn't mean they've all been abducted. And I like Kathy Martin's comment. Two-thirds of the people in a survey she conducted with her co-author of a book about abductions had an observation of a UFO before the sighting. She's not saying everybody who's had a UFO observation has been abducted. It is not too surprising, I suppose, if two-thirds of those who have been abducted did see a UFO. I mean, they don't, suddenly show up out of nowhere. So that doesn't surprise me. But I didn't go along with what I heard from Joe Montaldo, who says 100%, Dave Jacobs, Bud Hopkins. I think they're way overdone. And it goes back, frankly, that early survey that was done that came up with that umpteen million figure of UFO abductees. It was a public opinion poll, basically. And if people answered two of the five questions positively, it was assumed they'd been abducted. But they had no looking at false positives or false negatives either, for that matter. And that's one thing you got to worry about with polls. They had no survey that showed that here's 50 abductees and they all answered yes to those two questions. So we have no check on that. And I think the number was smaller than it really should have been. It was jumping to a conclusion based on an incomplete understanding of what was going on.
We're just getting started here with Stanton Friedman. We also have tons of questions from our listeners. So this is going to be a fact-filled visit. We have Stanton Friedman with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and foreign phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
He's raring to go. Stanton Friedman, we continued talking about the issues. We were focusing first on an article that Mike Cleland wrote for Open Minds about abductions, with a suggestion that maybe some or all abduction experiences, of course, being heralded by the arrival of a UFO, maybe that indicates that a lot of the close UFO sightings herald abductions. But, you know, I would wonder here always about abductions, Stan, and that is, once an alien race, assuming it's an alien race, let's assume all that stuff in advance, assuming it's an alien race that's here and they want to take some genetic samples, certainly they're so far in advance of us, why go through all this painful rigmarole? It could be done simply, painlessly, quickly. Why did they do that?
Well, you know, when I took high school biology a long time ago, I cut up a frog. And it's not because I like to eat frogs. It's not because I'm a cool son of a gun who wants to cause pain to a dead frog. But it was part of the educational process. So we have to be careful when we jump to motivation. Yes, I'm convinced, as anybody who reads Captured, the Betty and Barney Hill UFO Experience, where myself and Kathleen Martin knows, that indeed some people have been abducted. But whether it's a learning experience, I mean, who knows how many different civilizations are coming here and filling up their data bank with whatever they learned. Maybe, you know, I jokingly say, but it's not so funny, that maybe this was a penal colony. They dumped all the bad boys and girls here, and that's why we're so nasty to each other. I mean, how much nastier can you get? World War II, we only killed 50 million of our own kind, destroyed 1,700 cities. That's pretty nasty, to my thinking. Maybe they're looking to see what can they do to change. Where did they go wrong? How did they wind up with such a collection of nasty guys? I get such a kick out of people say, why don't they just land and you know, like on the White House lawn and say hi there? Our society should first ask questions later. What a history we have. We've set off 2,000 nuclear weapons, only two on people, thank goodness. Look how many kids die every single day of preventable disease or starvation. I don't see anybody who could say we're nice. And on top of that, people don't seem to understand that there's a difference between talking about how people react and how governments react. Who's got the good radar? Who's got the gun cameras on airplanes? Who's got the spy satellites? Who are the guys with the good data? It's not the general public. It's not the UFO community. It's the military. And I find it kind of strange how some people don't seem to understand how much money goes into the military and to military intelligence. I mean, this year, the planetary budget for things military is only $1 trillion. $1 trillion. The Washington Post this past year said that the total black budget for military intelligence work was $52.6 billion. Billion. Of the three leading agencies being the NSA, the CIA, and the NRO. Now, that's not six professors and 20 graduate students. And I'm not saying it's all for UFOs. Let's say only 10%. That would only be $5 billion. What the heck? But, you know, there's a real world out there, and then there's the imaginary one, especially held by the SETI community. You know, one of my favorite pet peeves, SETI, silly effort to investigate, who just can't imagine that there's anything going on besides aliens sending radio or laser signals to get our attention, apparently, but using technology appropriate to us. Think about that. Our first long-distance radio signal was 1901, and the neighborhood's several billion years old. But nobody more advanced than us, anybody who studies technology. People seem to be unrealistic about their thinking about aliens and how they would behave and how we must look to them. You know, we're nice, friendly guys. Why don't they just land and say, hi? And why would they use technology, that I want to know, that's consistent with our technology? Why?
I have a bigger question here, which is, okay, why do we even assume that because an alien race is more advanced than us, they're any different in any other way? If they have solved their problems of having wars from amongst tribes and everything else, the tribal warfare, why assume, and maybe I'm taking the Star Trek approach, where they visit all these worlds and we've got the Klingons and the Romulans and we're all fighting each other. Nothing changes in the Star Trek universe. Well, why assume because a race is advanced that they're more peaceful?
Because they get better at killing. So if they don't learn how to get along with their neighbors, they don't exist any longer. Splat. You know, that's one way to look at it anyway, that hopefully they have learned something. And the kicker is all this, you know, at the end of World War II, it was perfectly obvious that we're a primitive society whose major activity is tribal warfare. There are a couple of key factors there. One, the nuclear genie is out of the bottle. And the SETI people don't seem to understand that the same energy that you can use to propel a nuclear-powered submarine or a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, which can operate for 18 years without refueling, think about that for a minute, that same energy can be used for interstellar travel. I worked on the study of fusion propulsion way back in 1961. You can kick particles out the back end of a rocket that have 10 million times as much energy as they can get in a dumb old chemical rocket.
Stan, why do we use the dumb old chemical rockets then?
Because they're cheaper. Money is what gets in the way. Look, to separate uranium isotopes, World War II, the Manhattan Project, The first facility, a gaseous diffusion plant at Oak Ridge, was one mile long, pumping little uranium atoms through a nickel facade. We used 5% of the electrical power being produced in the United States to pump that gas through there, all done in secret, you understand. What I'm saying is money is an important part of the equation. When I was working on nuclear airplanes, believe it or not, in 1958 and ages ago, that year, a General Electric Aircraft Nuclear Propulsion Department, we spent $100 million on that project. We employed 3,500 people full-time. We had 1,100 engineers and scientists. And we never did build a nuclear-powered airplane. So money makes the difference. And I'm not saying we should decide to go to the stars. I don't think the aliens want us out there, especially people who behave the way we do. So, my view of the neighborhood is that it's loaded with civilizations. I get some people saying that, oh, look how far it is. Probably there might be a civilization as close as 1,000 light years. What are they saying? Within 54 light years, there's 2,000 stars. That means 8 million within 1,000 light years. So I think the neighborhood's crowded. I think there have been many colonies, many civilizations. And I think if you were a responsible leader of a distant down the street other civilization, you would want to know what the threats are to your neighborhood. And certainly if you find a civilization like ours that has suddenly joined the nuclear club, you see, we made a big step. We learned not very long ago that the major source of energy throughout the galaxy is nuclear fusion. That's what goes on in H-bombs, but it's also what goes on in all the stars. That's where almost all the energy comes from, is nuclear fusion. And as soon as you have joined that club, that means if you wanted to spend the dough, you're able to go.
I like the rhyming. Let's continue this. Stan Friedman is here. Got more to talk about with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I didn't believe it.
Neither did I.
No way could you professionally remove unwanted hair, pain-free, and at home.
My thoughts exactly.
Remove my face and body hair without expensive, painful office visits?
Not possible. Great minds think alike.
Until I tried No-No Pro.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you tried No-No?
Yes, and it works. I use it on my face, legs, bikini line.
We're BFFs, and you didn't tell me about No-No?
Here, this is my new No-No Pro. The most powerful No-No made. Custom treatment levels, less hair and less time, perfect for any skin type. Try it.
No hair, no pain, no time. Consuming expensive office visits?
No, no, and no, no.
For a limited time, you can try No-No Pro risk-free. You'll also get the facial kit and a travel case. Get weeks of long-lasting results.
That's it. I'm getting a No-No.
Great minds do think alike.
Try No-No Pro risk-free by calling 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760. That's 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760.
A sudden change in the wind,
The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, so it looks like we very much stalled in our space program. We certainly don't
allocate. You are right about that.
I personally think that after we landed on the moon in 1969, it all went downhill from there.
Well, we haven't had any goals. I was in the space program. And we all thought we'd have a colony on the moon already. The worst meeting I ever attended in my life in industry, I was at Aerojet visiting with my colleague. We were both involved in radiation shielding for nuclear fission rockets. And Aerojet and Westinghouse and Los Alamos each tested one. Very incredible devices, incidentally. And my colleague asked me, hey, Stan, you want to go to a meeting? The NASA Space Nuclear Propulsion Office is having a meeting on what we should do with the nuclear rocket engine we were both working on. I said, yeah, sure, I'd love to go. Worst meeting I ever attended in my life because they didn't have the slightest notion of what they wanted to do with it. We could do this. No, the public won't pay for that. Maybe we could do that, set up a colony here. Maybe do this. Maybe that. What we needed was leadership. We needed an Admiral Rickover. For those of you who don't know who he was a feisty little guy who was responsible for the nuclear submarine, the nuclear aircraft carrier, and so forth. And some people hated his guts. But he said, look, this is where we're going. You don't want to go there? Get off the train. And determination? I've talked to people, as I say, who hated his guts, but he got the job done. He knew where he wanted to go. NASA was never like that. And in about the year 2000, I was at a conference in Florida, and there was a NASA guy there, you know, the future of the space program, something like that. We're actually thinking about maybe using a nuclear upper stage to get us to Mars. My thought was we were ready to do that in 1970. In the year 2000. And, you know, we have gone nuclear when it comes to weaponry. You know, like it or not. Look at the jump. 1944, big bomb, a 10-ton blockbuster, took a huge, in quotes, B-29 to carry it. And the first atomic bomb, the next year, 45, released the energy not of 10 tons of dynamite, but 17,000 tons of dynamite. And 7 years after 45, 1952, our first H-bomb, 10 million tons of TNT energy release. And the Russians set one off 50 million tons of TNT energy release. We were moving in that direction, that's for sure. And 2,000 nuclear weapons. Everybody thinks, oh, we only exploded those on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Well, they're the only targets we hit, but 2,000 other weapons. So any visiting alien would say, what's with these guys? We want to quarantine them. I think one major reason for coming here is quarantining. And maybe you, the reason you get DNA samples, the equivalent thereof, is that, well, these guys are going to kill themselves anyway. Maybe we'll have some survivors from the DNA we can store. But there may be some good traits here somewhere. We're not sure where, you understand.
Well, you know, so I want to interject something here quickly, Stanton.
Sure.
We're talking about the decline and failing, basically, of our manned space program. What do you say to people like Richard Dolan and Joseph Farrell who are kind of coming up with this idea that we may have some sort of breakaway civilization and a secret space program that is forged ahead out of public view, but that we actually are going to the moon, we are going to Mars, and we do have sending people like Project Serpo to some other star system. Where do you come down on that particular theory?
Well, I've yet to see any solid evidence of any of that. I'm certainly not going to say there are no secrets. I worked under security for 14 years. Yes, we can keep secrets. And in one of my books, I give a list of expensive secret programs. Well, our first spy satellite was the Corona spy satellite, like the cigar, you know. 1960, there were 12 failures in private, not in public. I mean, nobody knew about them anyway. It got more information, number 13, than all the U-2 flights that preceded it. Big public cry? No. First announcement of the reality of the Corona spy satellites was 30 years later. Zillions of dollars went into that. You know what I mean? It was expensive, but it worked. The NRO, National Reconnaissance Office, had a program going with Boeing to try to improve. They're the ones who build the big, expensive spy satellites. You know, the ones who read the license plates at the Kremlin parking lot kind of thing. They had spent $13 billion with Boeing to try to improve the architecture of the satellites. And the program was canceled. They didn't get what they want. $13 billion. Didn't get what they want. The stealth program, $10 billion over 10 years. In secret, they got what they wanted, but these are major programs. And, you know, there are like four areas where the SETI cultists don't seem to understand. One is they don't look at the evidence about UFOs at all. Find any references in the SETI literature to serious scientific studies. I never can find any. But the second thing is they don't know anything about security. I have no idea that, you know, there are people working who aren't interested in publish or perish, who, you know, want to get right technical reports that are classified. I know, I wrote some. They don't understand that. Another thing they don't understand is advanced technology for propulsion. It's not just fusion, although that's a good place to go. Well, look, Los Alamos built the Phoebus 2B. Nuclear rocket reactor propulsion system, fission system, tested in 1969. Less than 8 feet in diameter, the power level was 4,400 megawatts. That's twice the power of Grand Coulee Dam in something less than 8 feet in diameter. It was operated successfully. Of course, then the program was canceled. Par for the course. I worked at Westinghouse. Ours was only 1,100 megawatts. It was very exciting. Successful. Program was canceled. So, you know, it can get a little personally aggravating. You move your family all over the place.
Do you ever feel like the person who is an actor and he's always starring in TV pilots, but the pilots are never picked up and turned into a series?
Well, there's certainly a feeling like that. Like I say, I enjoyed my jobs, and it was nice when we had our big test of the nuclear rocket. It was really exciting, because we had no idea, was it really going to work? Nobody had done something quite like that before. And we listened real time as they broadcast the results to Pittsburgh. The test was out at the nuclear test site in Nevada. And, you know, the limit was 60 minutes because you needed to have enough liquid hydrogen around to cool the reactor after it had operated for a while. And 5 minutes, 10 minutes, nominal temperature and pressure, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. We went the full 60 minutes. And that was exciting. But, of course, then the program got canceled within a few months. So, you know, it's aggravating. And I've read the SERPO book, and I'm not impressed. Again, not because I don't think we can keep secrets, but I've seen no evidence to go with it in this case.
Let me bring up something else, and we'll have to continue this through our next segment. Now, James Carrion, the former international director of MUFON,
yes,
has been fairly skeptical about UFOs. We had him on a couple of weeks ago where he was talking about a book called The Rosetta Deception.
Yeah, I've seen write-ups on it, and I didn't see an easy way to order it. I was going to buy a copy, believe it or not, but I didn't because it didn't seem to be on Amazon.
It is now. It is now on Amazon. But that's not the problem.
Good.
Sure. Okay, so one of the things he talks about there is the ghost rockets in World War II, where he says this was part of the deception. Say, we have about 30 seconds left, so now your answer is?
I think he's full of baloney about that. The ghost rockets were real. That's why we sent Jimmy Doolittle over there. Who talked to the military?
Well, he's not arguing that the phenomenon was not real. He's not saying it wasn't real. He's saying that there was some deception and subterfuge behind it, and that it may have been a manufactured. These events were manufactured as a deception.
Well, I'm anxious to read the book, but I've read others of the things that Carrion has spoken about, and I found he was full of baloney. I hate to put it that way, but. Yeah, we delicatessen guys got to speak up.
Okay, we have the delicatessen guy himself, Stanton Friedman, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the mustard.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare fuel is the answer. Spare fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, spare fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.